Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right.
Can we talk Athletic Greens for a second?
Always. You know how much I love talking about AG.
It's a product that we use literally every day.
Yeah.
I started taking Athletic Greens because I just needed kind of a one-stop shop for vitamins and minerals that I wasn't getting in my otherwise lacking diet. And how many? 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, aptogens, all in one scoop. Now Michelle's taking it. My daughters take it. It's my morning thing.
I need a re-up. I'm almost out. I take it every day. I'm almost out. I need a re-up.
If you get some more travel packs, will you send them to me?
I think we can get you some more travel packs, but I can send them to you. Yes.
Did you know that?
I do. Aaron just informed me that I have a bunch of travel packs left. So that's good.
Good. Bring them down to Cabo. Athletic Greens was created when the founder experienced a ton of gut health issues, ended up on a complicated supplement routine to recover. Cost him $100 a day. Well, it's not going to cost you, the listener, $100 a day. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D. And here it is, five free travel packs with your first purchase. I'm on purchase 40. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/daddyissues, athleticgreens.com/daddyissues. You've probably heard us say this 1,000 times, but maybe now, maybe this podcast.
This is the one.
This is the one that will make you actually go to your phone, type that in, and get on it.
Yes, I didn't say much, but just do it. Just try it. You're going to love it. All right? Don't forget about all the nonsense. Just get it. Trust us.
Get it.
Cavalry Audio.
Hello?
Hey.
Hi, Dad. Are you there?
Man, you really, that's his conversation. That's so close to home and so realistic. You really need to say that someday. You're trying to be funny, and yet there's a lot of truth in that.
Daddy, where are you?
Well, I'm right in Malibu, son. I walked out on you when you were 10, 8. I don't know. That seems a little fuzzy right now. I know you do the podcast with that Buck fella. But you can't really settle on a time in your life. When I walked out, bottom line, I walked out. And I'm, 42 minutes away from you. But I'm not going to see you.
Okay, Dad. That's okay. I forgive you.
Okay, son. I'm going to play my music and hit the old pipe and go to bed.
Okay, Papa. Just think of me when you're sleeping.
Call me Faja.
Hi, Joe.
Did you just do a run? I think I know your pathos, your ethos, whatever the word is, because you were singing on your Instagram getting ready, and that's like your charge up to go run.
So you're not 100% wrong. I didn't run, but I worked out. I did a basketball workout today. And
with your little pal Adam Levine.
Yeah. And it was really fun. And then I did an ice bath, which I've been doing a lot of those lately, which is just gnarly, but great. And now I feel invigorated and, ready to do a great show with you for 25 minutes.
I that long. I will tell you that nothing makes me feel better, either post-workout or not, mm-hmm. than an ice bath. It sucks.
Yeah, it sucks.
But nothing changes my mood and the way my body feels and just being refreshed. Mm-hmm. Even better than a full night's sleep, than in and out of an ice bath.
It's so true. It really is. It's pretty awesome. Now, it's cold, man. I do 6 minutes. I mean, it's like, it's crazy. It's freezing cold. I mean,
now, does he have people that do that for him?
Well, he has like a specifically, you know, specific person to break the ice.
Does he have, no, I mean, who makes the, Adam Levine is not over there like filling up a tub with ice.
No. So it's a whole contraption, dude. It's a whole thing. It's really cool looking. It's pretty actually. It's all wooded and there's a top on it and it's done. You don't have to do anything. All you got to do is take the top off, break the ice bath, put the top back on. So, you know, that's all you got to do. There's no buckets of ice. You know, it's not like a big ice machine where you're filling up the thing. It's already done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I've gotten to know Adam a little bit. I certainly don't know him like you know him. You guys are little Hollywood guys. There's something annoying about actors and musicians playing hoops and putting on an Instagram. I don't like that.
Why not?
I just don't like it.
Why?
I don't like it.
I got to understand that. Like, is it just specifically basketball? What if they were like throwing a football? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's better. But this is just, you know, Sandler does it. Levine does it.
Bieber's a baller.
Bieber plays hockey.
Drake plays basketball.
Drake, yeah. And Oliver Hudson.
I don't put it on Instagram.
Are you good, though? Are you a good basketball player? And do you play left-handed? And doesn't Adam Levine play left-handed?
Yes, he's lefty as well. I'm not good. I used to be all right. I used to play pickup basketball a lot, but it's been a while. And, you know, today he has like this trainer guy who's amazing. And he trains like big NBA guys. This dude is incredible. And his drills, it's really a cardio workout. I was huffing and puffing. I mean, it was gnarly. But my shot was terrible. I mean, it was off.
But it's just a means to an end. This is a way of making a workout fun.
Yeah. It was good. It was nice. And I ran 4 miles yesterday and I did legs the day before. So I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to get my 45-year-old body in shape.
Are you drinking your water?
Look.
Yeah. Hey-o.
There it is. But I will say I slacked, meaning I still have it. I still carry it with me everywhere and I do fill it up, but I'm not drinking it as consistently as I was for the first 4 weeks. I was crazy about it. I need to get into that cycle again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an effort. It's weird how it becomes an effort to drink water, but it's an effort that has you peeing all day. The amazing thing for me is for somebody who's 52, rare is the night that goes by that I don't get up once to pee. I mean, I think that's just part of aging.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But when I drink water all day, I pee all day, I stop usually my overloaded water intake by the time it's by 2 o'clock, let's say, and I get it all out and I don't feel like I'm peeing all night like I should be.
So you get all your water done before 2.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean, you got to like almost hold your nose and choke it down.
It gets to that point where it's water. It's all of a sudden water's like, oh my God, here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's great for you. So that ice baths, you're running, you're doing legs, you're playing basketball with, you know, guys that have gold records, pop stars.
Yeah.
People who have moves like Jagger.
You should have asked me that. That would have been the good joke. If he said, did he move like Jagger? You should have said that.
And I saw you getting ready and you were singing The Girl Is Mine.
Yeah.
Was that McCartney? Who sang that song?
That's McCartney and Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just, no inspiration. I was just singing the song and it made me feel kind of good. And I decided to film it and post it. I don't know.
I'm starting to have a visceral reaction to you singing on Instagram. I feel like Kate in this instance.
Okay. So good. Let's just get it out then.
Just when you do the little, like when you're done, you know, each phrase, you're phrasing, it's like Sinatra and his phrasing and then Oliver Hudson. The girl is mine. You have like this little.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? Dude, sing something and do it like where you're like trying to feel the moment go.
Right. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. The girl is mine. The goddamn girl is mine. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Does your asshole starts to clench, meaning you're like, oh, God.
I mean, I love you like a brother, but I just hate that part of you.
You do.
I do. I hate that part. I'm sure there are things I do that you hate. I hate watching you sing.
Then don't watch.
I can't. For some reason, Instagram has figured out that I look at my wife's Instagram, my daughter's Instagrams, and you. That's it. And then you scroll down. However this thing is set up now, I'm getting like, if you go down far enough, and it's not that far, all of a sudden it's like, hey, did you hear the Rams won the Super Bowl? It's just, they stuff these things down so you don't really ever get to the ones that you don't usually follow or bother to open. And so it's you, Natalie, Michelle, Trudy, my sister, and then you, Natalie, Michelle, Trudy, my sister, and I have to go hunting for everybody else. I don't see daddy issues. I don't see any. Mm-hmm. I barely see any of those. So I'm inundated with you singing is my point. Yeah. I can't get away from it.
That's right. I'm all in your shit, dude. My algorithm is right up your ass. It's all about me. But you know what I'm gonna do? My next post is gonna be something like this. Hi, it's Oliver Hudson. I know most of you enjoy when I sing and I enjoy
now
it.
Now I know what you're gonna turn your little mob against me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, there's only one person I've ever heard from, all my fans, my million fans.
I'm just gonna say, look, I'll turn it into a nice thing. I say, you know, there are very few people I respect in this world, and my family and my friends, and one of those friends and coworkers is Joe Buck, and he does not like it when I sing, and he has a visceral reaction to it. And so I'm going to take a pause from singing because my relationship with Joe.
Oh my God, don't do that to me.
I'm doing it.
Don't do it.
Why not?
Because I don't want to hear from your fucking people at all. That's the oldest Twitter trick. That's the only one I ever do. You suck. You suck. You hate the Yankees. Why do you hate New York? You hate everything. You're the worst. You're a good thing you had a famous dad. You suck. And then I flip it on them or just go, hey, have a nice day. I retweet it. And then everybody attacks that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go away. Some, they just poof, they're gone.
Yeah.
Like Kaiser Sose. And now.
You know, people know that I'm sort of being funny, so it could just be a funny little thing. You know, it's a PSA.
Why don't you do this? Start your post,
mm-hmm.
but then give it a beat and say, Joe, I'm about to sing.
Mm-hmm. Turn it off.
Turn it off. Go to the next one. Go to Sibling Revelries page.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just give me a warning, not Joe doesn't like it. I know you too well. I don't like looking at you. I don't like your mouth when you do it.
My mouth is sexy, dude.
Whatever.
Listen, why don't you give me some tips then? Let me know what my feed, what direction my feed should.
I'm not
should
saying
go.
That. Your feed is obviously miraculous. You've ensnared people from Troy Aikman to Barbara Streisand. So
right. To Bonnie Rotten.
I mean, you have touched a lot of people through your Instagram. I have no answers for it. I can't even begin to critique you. I'm just telling you what hits me.
What else can I, give me maybe some tips, like maybe just be a little more serious, or how can I mix up the content? I mean, maybe do a commentary on some current events.
No, I don't do that.
No?
No. Talk religion? No.
Yeah, do a whole segment on religion?
No, don't do that. You'll lose followers. And I know if you get, are you at 1 million followers?
Yeah.
Okay, if you go under 1 million, do all of us get to unsee that dance you did?
No, that was, I don't, like to toot my own horn, but that was pretty genius. It was beautiful. I mean, it's one of the more beautiful dances I've ever done. I was sweating my ass. I was working hard because that was not the first take. I had to I stuffed my ween and I had to make sure that was the right size, and then.
Oh yeah. Because you faked all that. You went Spinal Tap on us.
Yeah, of course. Because you can't, because if it was the real thing, then I, probably get dinged and they take it off or something. But if I made it exaggerated, then, there's parody.
Does Instagram social media sees parody? Social media understands nuance and sarcasm? I don't think so.
I don't know. I got something taken down, my running in the snow, with my ass out, but then I put it back up.
And did they get it again?
No, but I think it's just if someone complains or if someone decides to ding you, then they can take it down. I don't know. Who cares? You should get on TikTok.
No, I'm not looking for any of that. I don't want to get on anything. I want to go away.
No, you don't.
I don't even want to do this. You honestly.
It's too bad. You're in it. You're stuck. If you don't do this, Margot will die.
Not true.
And where will Josh be?
Huh? Josh will be covered in parrot shit.
You got to think about these people, who were become very close with and who rely on us, for this hour in their day. I mean, don't you worry about Josh?
I worry about Josh, but not, it has nothing to do with this podcast.
You mean just to,
just some of his general. Life, some of his life choices.
Yeah.
Some of his afflictions. Some of his.
You're going to be doing this a long time, dude. You're doing this forever. This is just what's going to happen.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues.
Well, this was going to be the week that you were going to do an interview with Al Michaels and me. And talk about kind of the musical chairs that is sports broadcasting or NFL broadcasting. But there's nothing. I have nothing to report. Nothing new.
Really?
Conversations. Meetings, I guess. But more just conversations on the phone, texting. Mm. But all it's doing is draining the life out of me.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing, there's no closure. There's no nothing to report. So in case anybody was tuning in, hoping to hear how Michael
leaning, sir.
That ain't happening.
Really?
No. No.
There's nothing. There's no movement.
No. It's either one or the other. So when there's movement, it'll be over.
What about a bowel movement?
See, that's where I can rely on you to change the topic. But it does point out whether, no matter what it is in your life that brings, whether it's change or discussions that have pretty far-reaching results in your life or topics in your life or have to do with work or whatever, and it's ongoing. There's just like a drain on your battery and you're not even aware of it. I've had decent nights of sleep, but I'm just tired all day. And I think it's because there's this noise of where am I going to be?
Yeah.
And you know, it's really a no lose. I'm happy really either way, but I think it's just the fear of the unknown and that yeah. kind of constant, not worry, but constant chewing on that just drains you. I'm just done by the end of the night, more so than ever.
Yeah, it's amazing that emotional toll that this and other things take on you. I think we don't give it enough credit in a sense, not credit, but you know, it's exhausting. That emotional exhaustion just can hit you and you are spent and you haven't done shit all day as far as physical, you know, working out or anything like that, exertion.
Yeah. But nobody wants to hear somebody complaining about that stuff. But when it's your life, it's like, I just want closure one way or the other. That's what I'm getting at. I want to know what is going to happen. And these are decisions that are clearly out of my hands at this point. So maybe there will be early next week, and we'll see.
How are they out of your hands? It's you who's making the decision.
No, not totally.
Well, you have free will, right? I mean, you just make the choice.
I could not work, but that's not going to happen. So, I mean, I have free will. Just like Geddy Lee and the Fine Fellas of whatever that band is that I can't think of. I will choose free will. Who is that? Why can't I think of Rush?
Is it Rush?
Yeah, it's Rush.
Rush, yeah.
Yeah, but whatever. This is bringing everything to a standstill. The reason why I bring it up at all is because it doesn't matter if it's this in my life or... I think COVID had that in everybody's lives for a minute, and for a couple of years there was this constant drain of, there was at least for me, worry of worrying if I was infected, am I going to be able to go do my job? Am I going to be healthy? How am I going to come out of this if I have it? There was just 2 years of that constantly. I was trying to be as vigilant as I could be because I didn't want to miss work and I wanted to be healthy and I didn't want to pass it on to my mom and I didn't want to do whatever. So it's stuff that just goes on in the background of your soul that just drains you. And eventually you look up and you're like, God, I'm just exhausted. And that's kind of where I am right now.
Are you saying that this isn't even about this decision that needs to be made? It's a culmination of the last however long.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think when this thing comes to an end,
mm-hmm.
one way or the other, we'll have a really good podcast about it because I think there's a lot to be said and it's all good. It's all, mm-hmm. I have absolutely no misgivings about any of it. So it'll be a great podcast whenever mm-hmm. there's closure one way or the other. But as of right now, that is not where we are on any of it. So.
Are you and Michelle still together?
We are. In fact, if she was not, did your kids do car naps?
Oh, yeah.
So now trying to take, and then that's another thing. You know, she's got her dad being ill and her mom is moving to St. Louis now. And, you know, there's stuff going on with the family. And so that's another constant churn. And everybody deals with this stuff. I'm not saying I'm unique in this way at all, but she's not doing a car nap. If she was not doing a car nap with the boys, meaning she's driving around getting calls done, trying to get stuff situated for her dad, she would be sitting right here, maybe instead of me, definitely with me to talk about our love language and how she felt about our podcast and mm-hmm. where we are right now. So that maybe that'll be next week too. Who knows? Next week's going to be hell of a podcast.
It will be. I know.
Yeah.
I know. I was excited about Michelle coming on and talking about this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But you guys are okay. You guys are still, you're still together. We're not going to break up, right?
Let me tell you. if Michelle and I do not work out.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, we're actually really good. It's none of, I mean, I know you're kidding, but we're actually really good. But if Michelle and I, ever, if we didn't make it, I'm done. I check out. I'm finished. Because there's no better woman in the world. There's no better mom. There's no better wife. If I can't make that work, I just don't deserve to have a partner. That means I'm 0 for 2 and I'm living in a hut just cleaning surfboards. Whack, what do? Wax surfboards? First, yeah, I have to learn how to surf. And then I'll wax surfboards.
Or you'll just go buck wild, which could be then the new chapter of your life, just called buck wild.
It'll be fast and fleeting, and it'll be a quick burn.
Yeah, you'll just go nuts.
Nuts.
Yeah.
My kids will have to do an, my girls will have to do an intervention.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, we don't know what happened to dad, everything. Oh, but yeah, I will joke with them. Here's where it's come with my daughters and Michelle, which I love. Like, I'll joke with them that, you know, I don't know. Michelle and I don't know, girls. And, like, we're not going to. And Natalie, more so than Trudy, but both, are like, what? You know, they're freaking out. They're like, oh, my God, what is a problem? What, Dad, what did you do? You know, like, it's like, I was, all of it's, first of all, I'm kidding. Secondly, why would it be, what did I do? Maybe it was something she fictitiously did. But, yeah. That they're like, oh my God, don't do that to me. So
they blame you immediately.
Immediately, I get the blame.
In this fictitious scenario, they're like, what did you do, Dad?
Yeah. Meanwhile, she was the big threat back in the day. And now it's like, Dad, don't screw this up. So everybody's on Team Michelle. I'm just fighting against the entire tide.
Let me ask you a question. And this is not going to happen because, you know, you guys are in love. There's no doubt about it. If, what is it that you fictitiously could do to fuck it up? Because you're not a cheater. You're a very faithful, loyal person. So we can scratch that off. So what is it, if we're going to go down this path just for fun, what is it about you that could ruin this amazing relationship that you have?
I ask myself that question a lot because I don't want this to ever end. I don't know. I think the one thing that would be hard for either one of us to get over would be the cheating thing.
Of course.
And as you said, that's just not who I am. That's not what I've ever done. That's just not a part of me. Even when I was dating in high school, that was not my thing. But especially after marriage and then after kids. And again, we talked about this before, but these are our lives, so there's a lot of repetition in these things. But that's what I saw as a kid being around a professional baseball team and traveling with them on the road when I was little. Like, it was an eye-opening, life-changing and life-altering and almost shaping experience to see professional athletes that were in the hotel bar not with their wives and see it and kind of get it. And my dad just saying, put your head down, Buck, and keep walking. And it's like, this is what happens on the road, stays on the road, bullshit, which is insanity to me. I think that helped form who I am. Just made me sick.
But given the issues that you have within your relationship, given who you are and the problems that she might have with you, take that to the 10th degree, exacerbate that. What is the thing that she would finally be like, you know what, Buck? I'm out. Sorry. Can't do it anymore. About you. Like, you're stubborn.
Stubbornness, my unwillingness to listen and talk, my usual act of turning everything into a joke, you know, being silly and not really communicating like a 50-year-old adult, instead like a 5-year-old boy. That's the stuff that drives her crazy.
Right. And if that is taken to the 100th degree, she's like, I can't fucking live with this.
I can see that leading to a timeout maybe, but
Right.
It'll never get there. Like, she's just, sometimes she'll be like, I want to talk to a man. Is a man in there? Am I talking to a 5-year-old boy? And sometimes when things get really serious, in fact, I've told this before, I'm sure too, that one night we're on a trip early in my relationship with Michelle in Barcelona. It was Michelle, me, and Trudy, and they both ganged up on me and said, every time something gets serious, you get silly. You make a joke out of it.
Right.
And I probably made a joke when they said that to me at the time.
Right.
And that's just my default. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wish I wasn't like that, but that's just kind of who I am.
Yeah, but is this something that you need to work on?
Yes, I think I do. I think I do need to work on that. And when I talk to my therapist, Heather, it's, you know, there are ways that adults and married people are supposed to argue or interact that is just seems so fake to me. You know, I'm sorry you feel that way. What I hear you saying is, you know, and giving the other person validation instead of just going, are you out of your fucking mind? That is not at all what I'm saying. And then it's just nothing comes of that except more yelling.
Dude, I think that's so funny because it's that therapist speak, which theoretically the themes of it are correct, but you can't actually use that kind of language to talk to your person. It's not human. I understand. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I want to be like that. I really do, because I feel like it would end any argument at least an hour before the other ones typically end. Mm-hmm. The beauty of Michelle and me, I think, in our relationship is that I don't feel like we carry stuff over. It's not it's not like, oh, you're going to pay for that for 4 days. Or that was stupid. You shouldn't have said that. I mean, we can get past it. We talk about it, but the initial stuff is like,
yeah.
And then you got to kind of come back to the table. If you're enjoying this episode of Daddy Issues, don't keep it to yourself. Please share the love and tell a friend about Daddy Issues and go subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up right after the break.
So where does she have to take responsibility in this? You know, because it takes two. Everyone has their shit. I have my shit. Erin has her shit. She can just get, you know, cut off from sort of what's going on in the moment because she's so concerned or OCD about getting shit done or this or that, or it's not working and we got to do that. And I'm like, hey, you got to just chill out for a second. Like, you're going way off the rails. And I can get internal, you know, and not express myself enough. But where is Michelle? Where is her, you know, what's her affliction?
No, it's kind of that same thing. I think she will get, everything's got to be so in order. Like if I pack the dishwasher wrong, she'll undo it all, put it all back in the way she wants it. If we get back from the grocery store and I start putting stuff away to be helpful, all I'm doing is doubling the time it takes because she's now going to put the cream in the proper spot.
Right.
And I'm not talking about what's in the crisper drawer. I mean, it's like how everything is arranged on the open shelves that are in front of your face. So it's all got to be lined up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, geez, can I just put this away? Like, let's go. And and she can't roll with that. And I think if there's anything that we fight about that gets us into trouble, it's just our different styles of parenting. I wish I had her patience. We've talked about it many times. Although sometimes I feel like the boys need a hard no, and it's kind of the baby no sometimes. But right now I'm picturing her in our gym listening to this podcast and coming over, walking by me and giving me a glare. So I'm going to stop talking about any of that. But I did preface what I said by saying I wish I had the much better patience, let alone the patience she has.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think we're all navigating, you know, parenthood always and learning and figuring it out. And I say to Wilder, you know, who's my oldest, I say, look, you're trying to navigate teenage years and puberty and whatever you're feeling with his anxiety and friends and, you know, all of it, school. And I tell him, I said, similarly, dude, I'm a newbie too. I'm learning as well. I've never had a 14-year-old in my life. So I'm trying to figure this shit out as well. And I said, I tell him, I said, I'm going to make mistakes. You know, there's no doubt. And I will apologize for those mistakes, but I'm trying to figure it out with you. You know, I don't have all the answers.
I think it's such a gift to be able to, and I think about this all the time, to be able to genuinely apologize to your kids.
Yeah.
And let them know that you know you made a mistake and show that you're not perfect. Show mm-hmm. that you're, because that, I think that's good. I think that helps open the lines of communication because they know they're not dealing with somebody that's not approachable or that considers themselves beyond reproach because they don't make mistakes. Like everybody makes mm-hmm. mistakes, and you make mistakes as a parent, you make a mistake. Make mistakes as kids, and being able to admit that you made a mistake and saying, I'm sorry, you know, I wasn't right about that. Please forgive me. And I think that's a good lesson to learn at home because they carry that out the door with them too.
Yeah.
Their own relationships.
Well, I think you and I can relate to our shortness, our frustration and anger. I think we're similar there. I've never spanked my kids, never even come close to it, never had the need to. You know, I got spanked, but I never have even thought about it, really, even in the heat of the moment. But I can get angry, you know, and I can get loud, and I can get a bit irrational sometimes. And I grew up with a lot of, you know, vocal people. My mom's tough, Kurt's tough, you know. But sometimes I feel like I take it too far. So my apologies, 9 times out of 10, come from me feeling bad about how I handled the situation with my tone, with me getting out of control in the sense of I don't take all factors into account of what happened in the moment, whatever it is I'm mad about. I just come to a snap judgment and start yelling instead of taking the time to understand what might have happened. So that's my thing, you know, and I've really made a point to not do that anymore because Wilder and I had a heart to heart, you know, and he was crying. There was a certain situation that went down a while ago, you know, just feeling bad. And I think he was vaping. He got caught or something. And he said that, you know, sometimes he was afraid of me. And that crushed me. I was like, oh my God, you know, because I feel like I'm repeating some sort of a pattern in my childhood. And I was just like, holy shit. And that's the last thing that I want to ever be for my kids. I don't want them to ever fear me in any way, you know.
But they should fear. I don't think that I hear everything you're saying, but I think they should fear letting you down if they don't act right. And sure. if they're making decisions that are harmful or whatever, they should fear that, you know, not only are they hurting themselves, but I'm going to hear about this from my mom and dad, and I don't want to let them down.
And then of course I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like trying to hold back my tears. I'm like, wait a minute, you fear me? Are you concerned that I might actually hurt you or hit you? And he's like, no. I'm like, okay. I start to go down the list because now I'm like, holy fuck. Like, what are we talking about here? I guess I was rocked by that, you know, because all I do is love my kids physically and everything, you know. But I think maybe he was coming more from that place that you're talking about, meaning like, I'm scared of what you're going to think, of what you're going to do, of how you're going to react. You know?
Yeah.
And I think there's a healthy fear, and then that fear can cross a line. I think sometimes I've crossed the line a little with sort of my reactions, just getting angry, getting frustrated. And as parents, our fucking nerves just get so ground down. You know, it's especially with little ones like you, your rationale goes out the window. You're so on edge because you have no sleep. You're trying to do homework. You're trying to get them to brush their teeth and da, 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 da. And finally, after what days of it or whatever, like, and you just sort of snap and lose it.
Right. Well, we were in their room last night, putting them to bed, and I lay on the floor between their beds and I read them books at night.
Mm-hmm.
And Wyatt knocked his water bottle over off the nightstand, and it came down. I was laying on the floor. It came down and cracked me right on that bone, right under your eye.
Yeah.
And I'm telling, it's like I got hit by Mike Tyson, and because it came out of nowhere. Like, I didn't know he hit it. I was just laying there reading, and all of a sudden, wham, this thing hit me in the eye. And it took every ounce of me to not grab that water bottle and fire it against the other wall across the room from me. And I was like, had I been able to grab the thing right away, I might have just snapped and thrown it against the wall and scared the shit out of them. And I would have been kicked out of the room by Michelle and probably called in, you know, like child services in because I'm like losing it. It hurt so much. Yeah. Like, my eyes are watering. And he didn't, I mean, he just knocked it over. He didn't mean to. It wouldn't have been just like, God, that just crushed my eye.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I didn't. I didn't do it. Yeah. I sat there reading the book, The Napping House, for anybody who wants to read that book, the rest of the time with one eye on the page and the rest of my brain thinking about how I stopped myself from firing the water bottle across the room. I was proud of myself.
That's good. You're making progress.
I'm making progress. I didn't throw an inanimate object against the wall.
No, but it's interesting because I get that when your child accidentally inflicts pain. I don't know whether it's this sort of primal response to just get angry, you know, or I assume that's what it is, because I feel that too. Sometimes something happens, it's total accident. The first reaction is, fuck.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, you hold that in, you don't do that because it's an accident, you know. But the first like the primal, the sort of disconnected subconscious response is to just lash out. You know?
No, and I have a tough time turning that response off.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, because I am all those things. There's no excuse for losing my patience, but you know, being tired and whatever, it's like, that hurt. I don't care who did it to me.
Yeah.
That hurt. And, you know, Michelle is amazing. They will like, they could take scissors and throw them into her back. And she'd be like, if it was them, she'd be like, now that didn't feel good. Like I'd be on the ground writhing around in pain, trying to drive myself to an emergency room. And she's totally able to withstand pain inflicted by her sons. If I did, if I move wrong on the couch and some piece of me is laying on her, it's like, get out. Like, how do you differentiate? Because in the moment, I don't care who hurt me.
Right.
It hurt. I'm just reacting to the hurt. I'm not reacting that acting like you did it on purpose. It just hurt. That was my reaction to go, And all of a sudden I'm an asshole because I went, And they're upset because I got mad. And I'm like, I'm not mad at you. It just hurt. That was my normal reaction.
Reacting to the pain. I love you guys.
Yeah. Fun. I love you. There's nothing you can do that will ever make me not love you. Nothing.
I know.
So those are my issues. Those are my daddy issues. Those are my, finally to drop in, like when you see a movie and they finally put the title of the movie in the dialogue, I finally just said, those are my daddy issues. These are my daddy issues looking down the track, looking up the track. I got hit with a belt. I was, you know, my sister and I used to always fight. And I remember my dad, mom going out to dinner. My dad saying, if we get a bad report from the babysitter, when we get back, you're not going to like what happens. Okay, dad. And then Julie and I fight. However, we used to fight, and the babysitter ratted me out, and I was awakened by my dad flipping my mattress over and dumping me on the floor mid-sleep, and I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
And I told you to. And then whenever he was chasing me around with a belt, I was able to elude him. That's one of the benefits of having an older man for a father. I was able to move around.
Yeah.
As this portly little kid, still able to get away from his belt. And by the end, you know, he lost his steam. We're laughing about it, and nothing ever really came of it. Mm-hmm. I was not like lashed by a belt, but it was, there was the threat of some sort of corporal punishment.
But the real question is, where do you think this babysitter is today that's ratted you out?
It's funny because in St. Louis, it's such a small town that I run into people all the time, or my sister will, and they'll be like, oh, well, yeah, I babysat you back in the 70s. And you're like, no, I don't think you did. I'm calling bullshit on that. I think you've been telling people because you were in our neighborhood that you babysat us as kids.
Right.
Or if I popped up on World Series and they're sitting around a party like, oh, I used to babysit that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think so. Julie keeps a Rolodex of the people. We had some freaks that used to babysit us. And when I look back on it, my mom and dad, I'm sure was not involved in this. My mom had absolutely no business hiring some of these people to watch us. And I mean, people that had records. And I remember one was left her purse on the kitchen table. And there was a gun in it.
Wow.
That is hand to God, swear to God, this person had a gun in her purse.
That's crazy.
And
why?
That like, person, what? I don't know. I have no idea. It's not like she was going to use it on us. But there was a gun in her purse, maybe for where she lived or going home or feeling... Mm-hmm. Nervous about, you know, what, I don't know, but there was a gun in this person's purse.
Wow.
Meanwhile, cool, for me, for our babysitters, it's like, can you bring 38 references? I'd like you to take a lie detector test. And this is the head of the Ladue Police Department. They have a questionnaire they're going to have you fill out, and you're going to answer them while the person's sitting here.
Right, and while you're waiting, here's the DNA swab. Swab your cheeks. You're gonna do it.
If you'll breathe into this, and now recite the alphabet backward, and walk on this straight line with your arms out. Okay, go.
Right, and sign in Ancestry.com. You need to follow your family tree.
Do you currently have any relatives in solitary confinement? No. Okay, good. Do you currently have anybody... Yeah, that's
it's so true.
We've gone the complete opposite way. We have three people we trust. And beyond that, like, ain't nobody touching these kids.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's the world we live in. But I think it has gotten safer, honestly, even though it seems like it has not. I think it has gotten safer over the years. It was less safe when I was a kid than it is now, for sure.
Why? Because there's more accountability,
even statistically, I've even
looked
it up.
More eyes.
Yeah, there's more eyes, more accountability. You know, there's more tracking. There's GPS. There's cameras everywhere. You know, now the shit part of having a teenager is this fentanyl. You know, and we're not going to get into this because this podcast has ended soon, but. You know, innocently, they want to try to smoke a joint or whatever, as you do in 14 or 15 and you're experimenting. Now you can't even do that because it could be laced with fentanyl. And kids in L.A. are fucking dying.
But what, just because, educate me on this. Why is there fentanyl in that? Is it because the person selling it wants to hurt someone, or are they just trying to get stuff out in bulk? Or
I honestly don't. No, because I don't know. I mean, there probably are some situations where you just have evil and they want to hurt somebody. And then there are other situations where maybe if they put just a little bit of fentanyl on it, you know, and then you're going to smoke a joint and get addicted and, you know, want more of whatever that feeling was. was, you know.
Jesus. I'm so scared to have these kids grow up. Like, and I'm so naive. You're not naive. I am so naive to this stuff. Mm-hmm. I will have to not be, and I promise I won't be. But as I sit here now, like, I don't know anything about that stuff. I just don't. I don't even know what fentanyl is. I've heard about it. I've heard about these people dying from it, but I really don't know what that is.
Have you watched Euphoria?
No. Is that what it's about?
Well, no, it's very druggy, but yeah, and there is fentanyl in it. You know, she does a little dab of fentanyl in it, but you should watch it. It's actually really good. I mean, it's really well done. It's a very well done show, no doubt about it.
But it's disturbing.
Very disturbing.
That's what I've heard. Like, my girls were like, Dad, I don't know that you're going to want to watch this.
Yeah, but it is disturbing, but I like dark. You know what I mean? Like, it's really good. It's one thing if it was not that well done and disturbing, like, who gives a fuck, whatever. But it's really well done. The acting is phenomenal in it. It's fucking good. It's good. You should check it out.
My like little kiddie shows ended with my girls and Hannah Montana or Corey in the House or Sister.
Yeah. or you could watch the Great British Bake Off, and that's what I've been doing with my kids. They love it, and I love it too. It's amazing.
Really?
Oh, it's an incredible show. There's like 9 seasons. It's super British, and the music is great, and it's just peaceful and charming, and I love it. You should watch it.
Is this like calm down to go to bedtime?
Just watch the Great British Bake Off.
Okay.
Season 9. Just try it.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues.
So this is the last thing I'm going to say going forward and trying to promote a podcast in the future.
Okay.
But we are 2 weeks away from a really funny podcast.
Okay.
And
I can't wait. Do I know about this? Or
yeah, you do, but I don't think even you can put it together. It has nothing to do with sports, Brian. Nothing to do with that at all.
Okay.
But there's something in the offing here that I don't know that people expect.
Oh, good. I'm curious myself, and I'm the co-host of this thing. I'm excited.
I turned my phone off because my kids were texting me, but I'll send you a picture.
Okay.
Okay. Here, I got it. Sending it to you right now.
Tommy John.
Tommy John?
I just got a text. I'm getting some free Tommy Johns, and I need to give them my sizes.
You're basically like Kate. You're beholden to free plugs for stuff.
No, they're
sorry, plugs for free stuff.
Well, you had to pay for your plugs. See what I did? See what I did? No, they're sponsoring another podcast I do called Sibling Revelry.
So. Oh my God. enough. You get no joy out of doing that.
No, I do. I just love your reactions.
Okay, look at your phone. Look at what I just sent. Email? No, just your text.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Heyo.
Oh, it's happening.
Yeah.
Oh, good. This is going to be good. Oh, I'm excited. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait.
That beats the Great British Bake Off.
Yo, for sure it does. Yeah, no, in 2 weeks' time, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be really good.
I got a lot of good stories from it too. So,
yeah, no, it's gonna be good.
How much is Margo? I know Josh doesn't really care, but Margo's dying right now.
I know.
All right, well, let's wrap it up with Juggernaut. Is Josh on?
I am here.
Juggernaut with Josh.
Oh, fresh cut, Josh. You got a haircut.
No, I didn't. I just brushed it over or whatever.
Have you always gone with that part? I mean, or do you have you ever experimented with another part in your hair?
Back when I was in college, I tried to do the middle part, and that was terrible. It was just the worst.
Okay. You're also wearing a gray Henley. Do you always button all the buttons up on a gray Henley, or maybe you should undo
one? Should I undo one? See, but I'm wearing the shirt under it, too.
You're wearing a T-shirt and a Henley.
Yeah, but you see, I've thought about this since the last time this came up. It's for warmth, though. Like, I just feel more, and for the sweating under the armpits, it, like, helps catch some of the sweat.
But then aren't your shirts tighter? I mean, we talked about this about dress shirts. I get it for warmth, but I don't understand it for a dress shirt.
You also completely contradicted yourself, meaning you want to stay warm, but you also want to stop the pit sweating. Like, what the hell is it?
It choose does both. One. Like, if I'm warm and my pits are sweating, then it catches it. If I'm not warm and I'm cold, then it helps me stay warm.
So next time, you should take your shirt off, not wear an undershirt, and undo a couple buttons, and then it'll bring on some sex appeal, I think.
All right. I'm definitely going to try that. I do have a question for you guys, though, that's actually relevant to daddy issues. It has to do with the whole topic. My sister-in-law and her 2-year-old, now 3-year-old son were visiting us a couple weeks ago. We were at Walmart picking out a Hot Wheels toy for him because he loves Hot Wheels. She left me with him while she went to go look for something else. Do you guys have it when you're around your little kids, like Joe maybe with one or both of your twins, when you're out in public with them, do people just stop to chat with you about the kids? Like, it drove me crazy.
Yes. Yes, they do. I was in the park today and I with my two boys, and I heard somebody's entire life story because they have a child in the same neighborhood age-wise as my kid. And I just wanted to chase my kids around and help them on the monkey bars, but I felt beholden to keep talking to this person. Yeah. And while I'm talking to this person, Wyatt is like out on the street somewhere. So I'm like, I don't want to be rude and go, yeah, great. Love that. Oh, that's so funny. And then I just want to move on so that I can watch my children.
Why do people do that? I was alone with him in the store for like 20 minutes. And in that 20 minutes, I think 3 people came by. Oh, how old is he? What is it? They're asking me all these questions. And I'm just like, I don't want to answer questions about this. I just want to just stand here.
What store were you in?
It was Walmart.
Walmart. Yeah, that changes as they get older. But yeah, when they're cute little kids, it's just like, yeah.
You know why it happens? Here's why it happens. And this is what happened in the park today. They want to gauge where their kid is development-wise in relation to yours. I have one really big 3.5-year-old, and he was doing the monkey bars by himself. Then the other one did the monkey bars by himself, and this person had a 5-year-old that couldn't do the monkey bars. And I think she was like, yeah, how old are those kids? I said, they're going to be 4. When? In April?
Yeah.
Wow, they're doing the monkey bars awfully well. I'm like, yeah, it's okay. They're not Navy SEALs. It's not like they're you know, jumping buildings in a single bound. They're doing the monkey bars, so they can do that. Your kid can do trigonometry. Who cares? Mm-hmm. But they want to gauge where their kid is in relation to your size-wise, development-wise. That's my point. That's my theory on that.
That's a great point. I think you're spot on there. Yeah. Yeah. Because you're always insecure about what your kid can or can't do.
Why can't my kid tie his shoes? Why is he still sucking his thumb? Why is he? Who cares? You know?
Right. That's good. Okay. That makes sense. But still, it was annoying. I didn't want to have to get into the whole story of, well, it's not my kid. It's my nephew. It's my sister-in-law. She's going to look for a car seat. And then the whole thing, where did they come in from? Well, because I said that we just got, I just picked them up from the airport. And then it's like, well, they were visiting this other place. It's the whole long saga that I had to get
That's
into.
That's where you just got to go rogue and just say, they came in from hell.
Right. They're looking for a butcher knife.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
They like to kill nosy people. They'll be right back. After they pick out a car seat and a hacksaw.
Right, and there's a blowtorch section.
In fact, follow us to our car.
And real quick before you get out, we always got to talk about your orgasms. How are they?
Oh, God. No,
okay, well, that subject is not going to be very fun because we've both been sick with colds this past week.
So?
Does that not stop you?
No.
Oh, man. Well, we haven't been feeling so great.
I have a feeling Oliver's not as virile as he portends.
What do you mean? I'm virile as it gets. Honestly, when we get off of this podcast in 30 seconds, I'm going to make love to my wife. 100%.
No.
Babe?
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
She's right here. She's the one who wanted it. I come in, I was like, I gotta do a podcast. She's like, oh God, when we gotta pick up the kids? Like let's get after it. I'm like, I gotta make love to Joe first.
sweet verbal love.
Just
and,
Joe.
And let me thank you and her for that. Thank you for putting me first.
Just Joe, Oliver.
And our tens of listeners.
If you're ready.
Okay. All right.
God, you are an absolute beauty. An absolute beauty. Speaking of that, Oliver, I guess you got to go.
I do. It's time to go make love.
Oh, my God.
Don't be jealous.
This is like, I'm jealous. I'm not jealous. I just don't really feel like it's appropriate.
What are you, prude?
Where are you now? What is that?
This is my ceiling. This is my bedroom.
Oh, sorry. It looked like you were in a sauna for a second.
I know.
Look at that. Hey, I'm in a sauna. Hey, I'm in my bedroom. Hey, I'm in a sauna. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm in my bedroom.
I'm going to make my bedroom a sauna in about 10 minutes here. Hoo-hoo!
God.
All right. I love you all.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Listen to Daddy Issues on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daddy Issues is a production of Cavalry Audio and iHeartMedia, produced by Margot Carmichael.
Sound engineering and editing by Josh Windisch.
Executive produced by Joe Bach, Oliver Hudson, Dana Brunetti, and Keegan Rosenberger.